Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:07 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is May 23rd. Well, I'm recording a little earlier today. I've got sort of a graduation event at my daughter's school this afternoon, so I'm not going to be around for the close. But there's a lot going on, and I thought I'd kick off with the SPAC index. So it was launched in 2020. Almost doubled within the space of about 6 or 7 months, and then gave up the entire advance. And now we're pretty much back where it started. So it's all been a bit of a wash. A lot of these, the money that was raised to fund these acquisitions has been more or less returned to investors. So it really is a sign that the appetite for IPOs has dried up quite a bit. Then, if we look at the IPO ETF. Well, this is comprised of companies that were big names when they were IPO'd, and then it does tend to hold on to them for quite a while. But it is also pretty much back to where it was in late 2019. So we had this huge run on the upside, well in excess of 100%, and then a complete decline. And now it's back testing the region of the 200-day moving average and pausing here. So let's just consider that this IPO market wasn't very remarkable, but it was doing reasonably well between 2016 and 2019. And we could also say the same for funds like the ARK Innovation ETF, where it was doing reasonably well ahead of the pandemic. But then, of course, back then as well, we had an inverted yield curve. There was a lot of concern about valuations. What I find most particularly interesting right now is that you have lots of investors looking at record high margins, very high valuations, and tight liquidity conditions, and then concluding that everything's going to be just fine, and that we have had an important low in the markets, and that it's going to be plain sailing higher from here. Well, in order to generate higher prices from here, one of two things has to happen, perhaps maybe both. Well, the first would be that the valuation would have to increase. So that would imply that earnings don't move all that much, and simply people are willing to pay more for stocks. And the alternative is that the record high margins, record high corporate profits are in fact going to re-accelerate higher from here. And then the valuation can either come down in response to that, or prices go up even faster, and the valuation pretty much stays the same or increases. But nobody's really willing to think about, well, what happens when earnings continue to deteriorate? And does that then mean that valuations are going to become even higher, and that prices will be completely unaffected by that? I think these are important questions. But what's happening right now is there's a lot of discussion going on about the debt ceiling in the USA, and I don't think anyone is really willing to contemplate that the USA is actually going to default on its debt. It's much more likely that there will be some kind of deal ironed out. Is it going to solve the massive fiscal challenges that the USA has, particularly as we look forward towards the unfunded liabilities of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I think it's very unlikely that any deal struck over the course of the next 10 days is going to really address those factors. But in advance of a deal, in fact, being struck, it's likely that stocks will trade downwards, and the S&P 500 is pulling back from the 4,200 level. It's the upper side of this range that's been forming now for a year. Now, the index is above the 200-day moving average, and we've had a good size rebound from the low back in October, but the valuation is quite aggressive, and the breadth in the market has been really very focused on the largest companies. But then let's also just pay attention to the advanced decline line for the NYSE. So there's obviously a lot more shares there than the S&P 500, but it's right in the region of the 200-day moving average. So the average share, it is up off the low from October, but this is a real important do or die type of moment here. Is it going to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows? Is the average share going to continue to hold here? Well, I've been short and wrong on the Nasdaq for most of the last 6 weeks, and today the price started to come back down, having encountered resistance around the 14,000 level. Now it has plenty of room in which to consolidate and still be above that 200-day moving average, but it does look likely that we're going to get some consolidation. Now, obviously, there's a lot of enthusiasm around artificial intelligence, and I think that there the clear rationale is that with large language models, with the innovations that have already taken place in terms of big data and massive data set analysis, then there will be value creation out of that. And that's been underway for most of the last decade. What we maybe started to see today was that investors are more willing to just simply give some credit to the biotech sector, that it is going to be one of the primary beneficiaries where the big data and artificial intelligence conclusions will in fact reach commercial utility. And Moderna today was among the best performers, but of course it's at a very depressed level. So when it was up 7%, it's still just bouncing from the lower side of its range. Now, of course, they've had their wonder drug with the COVID vaccine. Now they have to repeat that, and they have to come up with a new drug, but not with the benefit of having all of the accelerated timelines where they don't have to comply with lots of regulations. So their next success story is going to be more difficult, but it doesn't mean that it can't be done. And there are certainly interesting projects underway, like a universal flu vaccine, and then also potentially an mRNA related vaccine for AIDS or HIV. But at least the share is bouncing from the lower side of its range. Now, as we then think about some of the those artificial intelligence type plays, AMD has been rallying really quite impressively, and now it is susceptible to a little pause in consolidation from that overbought condition, well off the highs in here today. Something that I think is most particularly relevant is that the kinds of companies that really do heavily rely on consumers aren't doing particularly well. So Target, for example, continues to trend downwards. Then there's the additional potential risk that it's going to be deserted by more right-wing type consumers because of the range of products that it's currently selling. And that has continued to be a factor for the sales of various beer products, and it is weighing on Anheuser-Busch. So, despite the fact that the CEO has said that it only represents 1% of their total sales, well, the share has been basically going down since this scandal. And I do hesitate at calling it a scandal, but it since this news story broke. Then I think Lululemon is one of those types of companies that's like a canary in the coal mine, because what they sell are expensive pieces of gym gear. And you stop buying expensive gym gear when your pocketbook is tight, and you start looking at your Amazon Basics instead of the $150 sweat yoga pants, for example. So the share is now pulling back from the upper side of its range, And it does look like it has further to go on the downside. Then we have other companies that were absolute darlings of the investor class in 2020 and 21. And Shopify is now pulling back from the region of the 1,000-day moving average. Anyone who was sold on the idea that they're going to be the big competitor to Amazon will have been disabused of that idea since they've been selling off their warehouses in order to try and plug the hole in their balance sheet. Now, when we look around the world, I think there's a lot of interesting activity happening in the emerging markets. So, the Mexican ETF is unwinding its short-term overbought condition. Now, considering how quickly it went up, then that is certainly overdue that we get a little bit of pause in consolidation. And the Mexican peso is unwinding its short-term overbought condition. So, it would really need to the dollar would need to break up and through the 200-day moving average in order to question the trajectory of the appreciation. What we are starting to see, though, and it's something that we do need to pay attention to, is the use of eminent domain in Mexico to take over railways, take over land in order to build train stations. And AMLO has been or has demonstrated a penchant for these sorts of vanity projects that don't seem to get the same kind of due diligence as other kinds of projects. So that's something that is worth considering. But then there is also the very real money that is flowing into Mexico, upwards of 100 billion, so probably by the end of this year. And for a country with a GDP of 1.2 trillion, that is going to move the needle. And it does suggest that there is going to be a lot of economic activity occurring in Mexico with that kind of investment. Of course, it's also a commodity-linked market, and the copper price remains under pressure and breaking down through the 200-day moving average and moving to a new reaction low in here today. So this uptrend has been broken. And I think this is also very important to highlight that the long-term bullish argument for copper is in place. And this trend towards electrification is likely to survive any future recession. And that basically means that demand for copper will be on a continued secular demand trajectory. But the Chinese economy is slowing down, and the global economy is slowing down, and therefore demand for copper is likely to go down before it goes up. And that is basically what the price is telling us right now, which really suggests that it might be time to step aside and just wait it out and perhaps look then to buy at a much more attractive point. And I think it's particularly interesting that OPEC are attempting to hawk the price up right now. So you had the Saudi Arabian oil minister talking today and saying that short sellers better watch out. And the price was stronger by about a dollar, but it is still below the 1,000-day moving average, and the sequence of lower rally highs is still very much intact. And OPEC can cut and continue to cut supply in order to try and support the price, but if demand is falling, then that is something that is going to weigh on prices. And then when we look at the massive downward downside weekly key reversal that's forming on Hermes, well, that's a really clear signal where we have a failed break above the psychological 2,000 euro level, and it is very likely that it is going to return to test the region of the 200-day moving average. So, this it was a profound move, and it's one of the few more speculative shares that actually went on to clear the previous peak, and now this trend looks like it's over. Now, when we think about what's going on in China, well, the property developers remain under pressure. The banking sector is waiting it out for the stimulus to be made available, but the CSI 300 made a new reaction low in here today. And then when we think about Hong Kong, well, it's very much tied to that trend of stimulus as well, and the H share index is rolling over. Now, then we can think about India. They've been one of the clear beneficiaries of the war in Ukraine because they've been able to buy Russian oil at a discount. Now, Russia is, over the last month, they've been complaining rather loudly that they're accumulating rupee and can't do anything with them. So that's one point of contention. And then they also feel kind of neglected by India, that they're not getting defended more in the international court of public opinion. And obviously, Russia is very concerned with the potential that they will be greylisted, potentially blacklisted by within the monetary circles, and therefore they won't be even be able to take back all those rupees they've accumulated from selling oil to India. For the moment, at least, the Nifty index continues to march higher. And despite the threats from Russia that they'll stop selling arms to India and they'll stop selling oil to India, the other side of that argument is Russia needs the money. Having achieved what looks like a Pyrrhic victory in Bakhmut, now the question of what did it cost in terms of military hardware and lives remains to be seen. And you had President Biden of the USA talking about Russia potentially having lost 100,000 people. So these are really quite profound casualties for what is not an especially strategic location, and they basically leveled the city in order to try and to get it. So these kinds of things are expensive, and it's not like Russia can simply decide that they're not going to trade with anyone who's willing to trade with them when so many of their revenue outlets have been closed off. So India remains in rather a strong geopolitical situation and continues to plot a geopolitical policy that is basically straight down the middle. Now, when we then think about what's going on in Japan, the Nifty, excuse me, the Nikkei has been one of the strongest indices in the world over the last month, and now it's pausing. So we have a short-term overbought condition, and with some weakness coming through in the wider stock markets, then I think it is likely that this phenomenal advance and very strong activity from the Nikkei is probably going to pause. We could easily see a consolidation here between the 200-day moving average and the recent peak. But as long as the Bank of Japan is continuing to devalue the currency, then that is going to support the nominal price of Japanese equities. Now, with some risk-off starting to take hold in markets, gold prices were stronger today, and firming from around the lower side of this range that's been forming now for 2 months. This continues to look like a consolidation in the region of the psychological 2000 level. And I think it is more likely than not that gold is going to break on the upside, that eventually we're going to start to see the Fed taking fright at slower growth, and they'll start cutting interest rates. And they might be forced to cut interest rates before they have clear evidence that inflation has been got back under control, and inflationary pressures are still not under control. So that's one of the reasons why gold continues to remain very steady. Then silver prices have been quite volatile and have having had a really impressive run higher, are now coming back down towards the region of the 200-day moving average, well off the low in here today. The short-term overbought condition is beginning to be replaced by a short-term oversold condition. And having broken the 2-year sequence of lower rally highs, I do think it is likely that we're back on a recovery trajectory for the silver price overall. And then I think it is very interesting what's happening in the platinum markets, because automakers are suddenly willing to talk about retooling, and they haven't been willing to talk about that for 5 years. So even though palladium prices went to the moon and have come off, they did not invest in retooling because they were more concerned with spending on developing electric vehicles. And the reality of the difficulty of making electric vehicles and be profitable, on top of the reticence of consumers to bet on untried technology, and then to appeal to the mass market, that suggests that there will be more internal combustion engines sold than initially anticipated, and they need to contain their costs. But platinum prices have been pulling back, and the big question will be whether this $1,000 level continues to hold. Now, so then we can think about the agricultural commodities, and soybeans, having rebounded yesterday, gave up a lot of that advance in here today, and steadying around the lows from last year and the region of the 1,000-day moving average. If the breakout is going to hold, then this level will need to demonstrate, or their support will need to be demonstrated around this level, and it's touch and go. So I think that there is certainly downward pressure on a host of commodities, but gold is holding up reasonably well into an environment where the dollar has been quite firm, and it is testing the region of the 200-day moving average right now. Generally speaking, in an environment where there's demand for cash, then the dollar would appreciate. And that is one of the risks attached to a long gold position, that the dollar could rally into an environment where people are selling stocks and bonds and just simply accumulating cash. And of course, we have the fact that 10-year yields are still around 3.7%. Money market funds are offering upwards of 4.5%. One thing that I've been I'm not especially happy with my TD Ameritrade SEP is that I'm not able to buy money market funds with it. I have to buy CDs, but I'm not happy buying CDs from smaller banks. So then I'm not able to get the same kind of return. This is really not a very desirable service. But one thing for sure is that the money market funds, the total assets have jumped higher. And this trend continues. So even though we've had a strong stock market and a reasonably steady bond market, then the total assets that are hitting money market funds have continued to trend higher. And that is not great for liquidity. So we still have inverted yield curves. We still have tight liquidity. And the money supply growth is negative. Now, of course, it's negative, but it is coming down from, and of course, it's the most negative we've seen in forever. But the reality is it went up a lot. So if we look at the nominal price, or just the nominal rate for M2, it's coming down, but it's not coming down a lot. There's still a lot of money in the system. And I think that's the main point, that we've had inverted yield curves now for going on a year, and there are long and variable lags, but there is a ton of money still in the system. And I think there will be, and there is certainly a sorting going on right now between the kinds of companies that are eventually going to go bust and those that will recover. Those that are levered to the benefits of artificial intelligence, those that aren't. Those that are leveraged to the benefit of quantum computing, those that won't. And that as we go through a recession, there will be an uptick in defaults. There will be some exceptionally attractive buying opportunities. And I'm just not in a hurry right now to jump in, even though we've seen significant numbers completing 1 year basis. I just think that there's a lot of risk out there, and it would behoove us just to pay attention to that. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.